Okay, Father, thank you tonight. Somebody could close the doors in the back. That would be great so people can talk if they want to out there. We don't have to hear it. Father, thank you and bless this wrap tonight. And just help us to know you. Bless our night in Jesus' name. Amen. Maybe we can start off with Psalm 139:17. I mentioned it in the wrap about precious thoughts, that God's thoughts, great is the sum of them. Precious thoughts, and great is the sum of those thoughts. And I love Isaiah 55:8-10. My thoughts are not your thoughts. My ways are not your ways. My thoughts are higher than your thoughts, so that my ways are higher than your ways. Then you connect it to James 3:13-18. It says something about the wisdom of God. It says the wisdom of God is earthly. The wisdom from below, sorry. The wisdom from below is earthly, sensual, and devilish. So there's two wisdoms. There's one from below and one from above. The wisdom from below is earthly, epigelos, of the earth, natural thinking, sensual, psychikos, from the soul, and demonic, devilish, is demon-controlled. See, that's the wisdom from below. You know, there's people that walk around with what we seem to think is wisdom, but if it's not from above, it's from below. And if it's from below, it's defined by three words: earthly, sensual, and demonic. Because the devil can use the old sin nature and the world system. Then he says the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable, gentle, easily to be entreated, with good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. So James is contrasting two wisdoms, one which is higher from above and one which is below. Now, Lot saw Sodom and Gomorrah, I said it last night, as the Garden of Eden, which is incredible. Satan touched his eye gate. Okay, the eye gate. And he saw Sodom and Gomorrah. He'd heard about the Garden of Eden, obviously, as there is verbal communication and translation down through the ages. He heard about the Garden of Eden, without a doubt. But he saw, as soon as and that's what caused him to separate from Abraham. Even though he wasn't supposed to go on the journey to begin with. Are you with me? Be very careful what you do and where you go. It said, separate. That's Paul and Barnabas. He said, he called them out. Get out of your country, away from your kindred. Wasn't Lot a kindred? And from your father's house. Abraham made, as father of the faith, he still made two wrong decisions. Number one, he, instead of going to the promised land, he let his father take him to Haran. Okay? 5 years. And he got nothing in Haran at all. And by the way, the name Haran means the place of no fruit. And then the actual man named Haran died in Ur of the Chaldeas. If you can follow that, it's very interesting. Haran died in Ur. So Lot goes along for the ride, just like I believe John Mark went along for the ride. When God said to the church, separate unto me Saul and Barnabas for the work. He never mentioned John Mark. But John Mark went because his uncle was Barnabas. His first pastor, Peter, if you follow why there was a problem, you can see it very easily. Peter was John Mark's pastor. Barnabas was his uncle. And then the three of them lined up against Paul in his home church of Galatia. And he rebuked them to the face before them all, it says. You can see the devil is trying to cause trouble, even on the mission field there. Okay, what was I even talking about? Oh, higher thoughts, okay. In other words, God's thoughts are higher. His wisdom is higher, all right? And then if he has higher thoughts and higher wisdom, and I receive that higher thought and higher wisdom, then I will make decisions, all right, that will bring me to the higher ways, the way of God. The way of the way is above. So when I'm making decisions as a Christian, am I getting those precious thoughts from God that have such value? I knew someone, and they told me that they wanted to. They were in the church. This was in the early 1981. And they said, I really think that God has put us together. I really believe it. I said, well, I think you should wait. You're a graduate from Bible school in Lenox, 4 years. He has only done one semester. I think you should, like, hold off and wait a while. They didn't wait. They just, you know, how that can be, right? And you have believer priesthood and do whatever you want. I said, well, I think you should wait, but if you're going to do this, you're going to do this, all right? It's the dilemma we have as pastors sometimes, you know. You got to let people exercise their free volition. And then even love them when they come back and it hasn't worked. So they got married, and then he, being an immature believer, not well trained in Bible school one semester, he got an initiation from his company to move to North Carolina. So now he moves to North Carolina. He's taking her out of the church. And he said, oh, we're going to find a good church. They found the church, but they stopped going. Well, because he was not spiritual and wasn't growing, he started to live in the flesh. His flesh was a drinking flesh. So he started to drink. Then he started to do something that he would do before. He started to beat his wife. Today, she's in a mental institution. She's in a mental institution because she lost her mind. Now, one thought, one wrong thought, by the way, anybody that becomes a heroin addict or a drug addict or has an alternative lifestyle, it all begins with a what? It begins with a thought. It begins with a thought. You can say what you want, but it begins somewhere where a thought is entertained. And that's not a precious thought. It's a thought from the old sin nature or Satan projecting. And that's why the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 10, 5 and 6, 4, 5 and 6, casting down, do what? Casting down vain imaginations and everything that exalts itself against the knowledge of God and bringing some thoughts, every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. This thought is not from God. Get rid of it. It's not precious. It has no value. You know, a lot of people are tired because they waste their mind thinking about stupid things that they need not to think about, you know? You know those devices that guide you when you drive? What do you call them? Yeah, I don't have a GPS. I don't know how to go anywhere, and I don't really care. I'm not about to learn anything either about where to go. I know how to get from the church to my house. I can get to my daughter's house. That's about enough. That's enough for me. I don't need to. I'm not going to get too intricate with this thing. I don't have enough room in my brain for certain things, okay? Are you with me? Some people got too much in their brain. That's why they can't think with God. They have what I call, when I eat ice cream, I get brain freeze because I eat it too fast. They have another kind of brain. I'm not so sure what it is. I don't know. But it's a brain in prison. So you have so much capacity for thinking. And if you have too much on your mind and you're thinking too many thoughts about too many things, it becomes a real problem. The mind is cluttered. Thank you, sir. It's a cluttered mind. And the mind can't think. It cannot process God's thoughts because it's thinking. By the way, here's what happens to Christians. Are you with me? Yes. Hallelujah. A thought from God comes. They run it through the grid work of their human reason and come out with a praise the Lord behavior. That's not from God. See, God's thought says, get thee out of thy country. I run it through my grid work and bring my nephew. Huh? See, this is wrong thinking. It can almost look like this is okay. Abraham is going. He shouldn't have brought Lot. Lot didn't belong there. Are you with me? And we have to be careful that we have God initiating precious thoughts to us. And I don't want to, like, kind of add to them or take away or twist them so that I find myself thinking incorrectly. Now, thinking, Dr. Stevens gave this procedure years ago, 1978. I remember it. You think a thought comes, you meditate on it, revolving it in your mind, you make a decision, an activity, an action takes place, it's log number 5 in your conscious and unconscious mind, then you have a series of thoughts on the same wavelength. Those series of thoughts become a series of actions. A pattern develops. Then comes a mindset. Then it produces an identity. So you go from a thought to an identity. Are you with me? From one thought, it's a 10-step procedure. I don't know if I hit all 10, but it goes from a thought to an identity. You say, how did the person become like this? It began with a thought. Hello? If I can get Jesus to think one wrong thought, you cannot be saved. Are you listening? If he thought one wrong thought, then he's not the perfect sacrifice. He never thought one wrong thought. Now, I know that, you say, that's extremely high. I could never. I'm not saying that. That's why changing your thinking is called repentance, so that I can think correctly. I get God's thought and I change my thinking. But this is really interesting when you look at the Bible. A thought comes. Saul says, 1 Samuel 13. Samuel hasn't come. He said he'd be here in 7 days. He hasn't come. The Philistines are surrounding us, and all of my army is fleeing into the bush. I need to offer the burnt offering. He offers the burnt offering, and this is what Samuel says. By the way, Samuel came the afternoon of the seventh day, not the morning when Saul expected him. This is what Samuel said to King Saul. Today you lost the kingdom. It will be given to another. Imagine that. By the way, Saul's two sins were both religious sins. One was offering a burnt offering. The other one was sparing Agag. I spared the best for God. Samuel hacked him to pieces right in front of him. He got a sword out and cut Agag to shreds. He said, we're going to sacrifice to the Lord. And that's this human being. You say, I don't like that kind of Christianity. I'm a millennial. Take your millennial to the millennial reign then. Whatever. I don't know. Whatever. You know. Somebody told me I mentioned that word 5 times. I don't even know what it means, to be honest with you. And I don't really care either. You know, a certain way of thinking. There's only one way of thinking, is God thinking. Everything else is a mess. Hello? So thinking the right thoughts. And his thoughts are what? Precious, right? They have great value. This is 139:17. They are higher. Isaiah 55. How about this one? Somebody read me Jeremiah 29:10-11. Are you ready? Who's the fastest at getting that? Okay. You got it? You know it? You think? Are you going to think a thought? Thought, think, thought, think, thought, thought, think? It should the word thought isn't in there. Somebody read it in the King James, the Bible that I have in my mind. Does anybody can read here? 29, 10, and 11. Hello? Somebody? Loud. Stand up and read it. You're reading it from a Bible or an iPad? Oh boy, this is, we're changing up here quick. Thus saith the Lord. Expected end. Okay. See, God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. I know how I think. Do you know how I think? They are thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you, in the Hebrew, hope in the outcome. Expected end is hope in the outcome. So see, God says, I know the thoughts I think towards you. You may think that you've been disciplined for 70 years, but this is important. And by the way, God disciplining me is very good for me when I fail. Hello? I need that. Because those whom he loves, he what? That's not the word actually, but you can say it. Chastise. This is King James, but the word is actually bring you to the light to correct you. That's what it means. So he loves me. So I need to have God's thoughts when I pray. You know, I say it's important to pray with an open Bible because your mind starts to wander. Bring it back to the Bible. Are you with me? You pray with an open Bible when you feel it. How many have ever prayed and their mind just starts to go in many directions? You start thinking about the Miami Dolphins or something. No, I'm just joking. You know, the New England Patriots, you know, your mind wanders. I need the Bible so my thoughts don't go where? Astray. My thoughts don't end up in the wrong place. I was sitting there tonight thinking Pastor James stole my message. He was looking at my notes. I was going to preach, you know, something different, but so I said, okay, God, so what's your thoughts now? As preachers, you got to live by faith because it can be like a last minute deal. All of you think we do prepare, but I want to be prepared to meet God. And that's important. So I don't want to preach what I think I should preach. I want to know what the Holy Spirit says. Hear what the Spirit says to the church. And you can spend 3 hours preparing that message. And God said, if you preach that message, it'll be sin. How's that one, huh? If you preach this message, it will be disobedience. Here's the message I want you to preach. Start here and let it go. Let's see what. Trust me in the message. All right? Trust me. So thinking correct thoughts. The Holy Spirit told me in 1986, go to Africa. We went and landed in the airport. I had no idea what the next step was. I just landed there. Said, well, let's pray. We had no contacts of any importance. And then I had one phone number. I called and the person started talking to me in another language, which I didn't understand. I kept saying my name, and finally somebody picked us up, and we began in 1986. It was amazing. We went to this small hotel, and next door in the room were some people that were anti-Trinity. All right? They were anti-Trinity people. They said Jesus was the Father, Jesus only. Jesus was the Son, Jesus was the Spirit. They said, brother, want to come and have fellowship with you and talk to you about our ministry. So they came into the room, they sat down, and I said to them, oh, they had nice suits on, they had ties, you know, they were very well dressed, very acceptable looking people. I said, what do you guys believe about the Trinity? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. They said, no, that's wrong. I said, well, I'm not going to get into a debate with you. What I'd like you to do is stand up. They stood up. I said, now turn around and get out of my room. That's what John says, 2nd, 3rd John. Get out of my room. No fellowship with you. you don't believe in the Father and the Son. If anybody brings this doctrine, now some people don't even want to believe the Bible with that stuff. Somebody brings that doctrine, I'm not going to sit there for hours trying to convince somebody. The Bible says have no fellowship with, it's a wrong spirit. You're not dealing with people, you're dealing with demons. So that was an interesting time. So the ministry started like in this hotel called the Marabella Lodge. I started meeting people by soul winning, and they came in. And you know, I went back and said to my wife, we're moving to Ghana. She said, what? I said, we're moving to Ghana. She says, really? She says, is it God's will? I said, it's God's will. She goes, let's go. So we went, and we stayed in the hotel for 40 days in a row. The hotel was 12 by 14. And we had 8 hockey bags. You know what those are? Those big bags with clothes and books in them. And I just thought, like, God's going to do this. God's got a plan here, you know? And we had a great time. That was a really great time to knit our family together. It was really awesome. We had rice or macaroni every day. Every stinking day it was rice and macaroni. That went on for like a month and 5 days. I had macaroni coming out of my ears, you know. But God used it. God used it, and then everything took place. She said to me, are we going to find the place to live? I said, that's not really that important. What's important is we go soul winning every day. And I went soul winning, and I was talking to a guy in a tree. I'll never forget. He was up in a tree. I said, hey, are you born again? Is your name Zacchaeus? He's looking at me like, oh, well, what'd you say? I said, come down from that tree. I need to talk to you. He came down and I gave him the gospel. And I said, do you know if there's any empty houses here? He says, yeah, you see this tree is in this yard? That house is empty. I stayed there for 6 years in that house. I was there 6 years. Yeah, what are you trying to do? You want to go to a real estate agent or you want to trust me? Let me be your agent. I'm real estate. And God did it. And we stayed there. And even Pastor Luigi moved there when I left. I left Ghana. He came in from Togo because of a coup d'etat. The army was in the streets. And they were killing people. And he got out over the border. It's Africa. I love it. Yeah. I called Pastor Cohen. He said, there's tanks in the streets. I said, so what? As long as they don't blow your house off the map, it's okay. Right, Pastor Alfred? How many years were you in the Liberian War for? 17? He was in the middle of a war for 17 years. That was interesting, I'm sure. So, thinking the right thoughts, okay? And that can be in every situation in my life. What job, what I do with the job, who I fellowship with, where we are led to evangelize. Some people, you know, here's what Satan says. Well, I can't stop them from evangelizing, so what I'll do is get them to evangelize in the wrong place. By the way, it's a plan of the enemy. He doesn't stop just because you went soul winning. Now, if you're in the right place, he'll get you to talk to the wrong people. We got to be so spirit-led and think with God. Are you with me? Thinking with God. His thoughts are what? What's that word I used tonight? Precious. Great value, to be highly esteemed, to be dear, and to me, the thoughts of God. How do I think about a situation in the church? Somebody has failed. Do I have precious thoughts towards that person? How do I think? What kind of thoughts am I thinking? What kind of thoughts are permeating my mind and controlling my thinking? This is important. And if I don't think with God, I'm going to tell you something you're not going to like. Are you ready? Huh? Peter said to Jesus, when Jesus said, I'm going to go to Jerusalem, I'm going to suffer, and I'm going to be rejected, and I'm going to be crucified. And Peter said to him, listen to what Peter said in the Greek language. If you don't believe me, study it. May this thought be far from you. He said, not so, Lord. You know what Jesus said to Peter? Get behind me, Satan. For you savor not the things that be of God, but the things that be of men. The word savor is phroneo. You're thinking with men. And when you think with men, you think with the devil. A lot of people don't like that. They'll go home and they'll have an attitude about me tonight, which I don't really care. Because that doesn't matter. I'm not out for your election. You know, it doesn't matter. You're thinking with men. You're thinking, Peter, you're being used with projections and oppressive. You're thinking with man, and it's thinking with Satan. There's only two types of thinking we have today. It's satanic thinking or God's thinking. Oh boy, Satan has done such a job on people by deceiving us into thinking it's just natural. It's more than natural, it's supernatural. Hello? Passing laws that are contrary to God's thoughts. What did you expect anyway? I get, you know, people make me laugh sometimes. Like, you believe what's happening? What did you expect? What did you expect? What are you expecting? This is not the kingdom of God. This is not millennial reign. This is not heaven. What did you expect? Wow. Interesting to me. So how do I think? I met a man one time and he says, my father was a pastor and I became a Muslim. I met him in a prison. He was an armed robber. I said, you're pretty stupid. You robbed the same bank 2 days in a row. I said, he got caught the second time. He thought he was going to get away with it. And I said, you're a Muslim because you didn't like your father and your father was a pastor. And maybe he mistreated you when you were young, so you became negative towards the gospel and you embraced Islam. And I said, it's absolutely ridiculous. Who is Allah? I have a certain approach to these kind of things. That is, yeah, we've got about 100 converts in West Africa. They're Islamic converts. And he got very angry with me. He was 6'5", very strong. And because of the bars, he couldn't touch me. But eventually he got saved. Eventually he became the Bible study leader in the prison. Eventually he came out and moved in where we were. It was amazing. See, having the right what? Thinking patterns. Oh, you got a problem? Take this pill. You got anxiety. We got the solution. Doctors are ridiculous. All they want to do is give you a prescription. Am I right? Hello? 60 million people using Valium in America. 60 million people using Valium. They can't solve the problem, so what do? Prescription, 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 prescription. Oh, I don't know what to think, so here. Take 2 every 3 hours, you know? And let your mind go crazy. No, it's amazing what clutters the mind. What can clutter the mind, you know? Whew. I told my wife one time, she goes, where's the van? I said, the van died on 95 and I left it there. She goes, I left it. I took the plates off and just left it there. I don't care. What do I care? I'm not going to try to figure this thing out. I got better things to do than figure out the van. The thing died and leave it there. Whatever, you know. Runs out of gas, I walk away. I haven't got time to figure out gas and things like that, you know. I just call somebody up and get a ride and leave it right where it is. And somebody wants to put gas in it, great. If I figure it out later, I'll do it later, but not right now. Thoughts, right? How to think with God. Pastor Stevens taught us that for decades, how to think with God. And nowadays, it's amazing in counseling sessions when I'm speaking with people, like where their thoughts come from. Here's a good one for anybody. How many pastors do we have here? We got pastors here. How about when somebody comes into your office or somebody meets you and they need help? And you don't have the answer. You know why you don't have the answer? Don't be surprised. Number one, they're not reading their Bible. Number two, they're not listening to preaching. Number three, they're not praying. Now, they want to get the answer from you for their problem, and God doesn't give you one, so you make one up. I ain't making nothing up. If I don't get it from God, I'm not counseling anybody. I'm not going to... You know what? Here's my counsel. Are you listening to preaching? Well, I come to church once a week. We have 3 services. Do you read your Bible? Not much. Do you pray? No, I ain't got time. I can't help you. I can't help you. What's wrong with saying that? I can only help you to point you in the right direction. This is God's thoughts. Read your Bible. Listen to preaching and pray and you'll get the answer. No, but I've got a specific problem that nobody else has. Oh, come on. And by the way, everything's the same. You know, I meet people all the time. You heard me say this. Well, in our country, well, in Florida, well, in Azerbaijan, well, in China. Listen, it's God, the Bible, the gospel, the church, and the devil. It's the same everywhere. Don't be giving me this thing about you're in our country. You know, whatever. It's the same thing. You got lost people, and there's God, there's the church, there's the gospel, there's the Bible, there's the devil, and that's it. It doesn't happen. You know, everybody wants to make it seem like their country, you have to somehow have to have a different way of thinking. Really? Wow, Jesus said, go into all the world, but if you go to this nation here, I got another part of the Bible for that nation. No, I'm sorry. Hello? Right? Southern France is no different, is it? Southern France has got people. They're saved. They're lost. There's God. There's the Bible. There's the gospel. There's the church. And there's hell. Right? That's all there is. So don't make it so complicated. It's very simple. Well, what's your approach in this place? My approach is the same everywhere. What's the difference? You know? What do you want? You want to have a special... And I'm not saying we can't be led by God and there can be ways of having the Holy Spirit lead us. But the basics are the basics. Okay? These are foundational truths. Don't remove them, Proverbs 22, 28, and 23, 10. They've been set by the fathers. Don't enter into the field of the fatherless. Okay, I'm doing a lot of talking. There's a microphone. Stay on the subject, though. If you get off the subject and you go too long, I got somebody back there that'll take it. No, I'm just joking. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Can you please say again the process from one thought to identity?
Wow. What if I can't remember it?
Try.
The process. Maybe somebody can help me that wrote it down. Okay? Especially three or four of those people that are leaving. They could help me. No, I'm just joking. See, what did I say? Thought first. Meditation on the thought. Right? Decision. Is that what I said? An action takes place. That action is logged into the unconscious, subconscious mind. I make another decision, which along with that decision is a series of decisions. An activity takes place. Okay? A habit is formed, a pattern, and an identity is the result. Something along those lines. Maybe I didn't get it exactly right. But Dr. Stevens did this in 78. And I have it someplace in my Bible, somewhere written down. But it was like how a thought can become an identity. All right? Every alcoholic began with a thought about alcohol. Yes or no? Huh? Every alcohol, yeah. One day I had a thought about smoking dope. And I did it. And then it led to who knows what, you know? So it begins with a thought. Somebody one day does, I don't like my wife. Then that becomes a decision. They meditate upon it. They start looking around. Right? By the way, I had a pastor one time tell me that God told him to divorce his wife and marry his secretary. I said, I'd like to take you in the back room for a while and talk to you really strongly. God told you to divorce your wife. That's amazing. Wow. You almost prove, you know what? Evolution is true. I read a story by a monkey. Well, this was a spiritual illustration by Wormbrandt. He said, monkeys said to some people, please don't say that you came from us. We don't drink. We don't get high, we don't divorce, and we're not gay. No, I thought that was a funny story. Monkeys are disciplining human beings. We don't do any of that. You know? What you people do. We don't take drugs, you know. Whatever. Anyway, but thoughts come in. And what can take place? And that's why I'm not to be afraid of it, but I'm just to challenge every thought that comes. All right? Where is this coming from? And by the way, the enemy can get us with some good things, but they're not God. They're not God's thoughts, right? I know some people that almost married the wrong person. I'm not going to talk about it right now. But it's amazing that where their thoughts were coming from. And they could be like maybe a sentimentality. It's not even like a bad thought per se, but it's not God's thought. It's not God's thought. Holy Spirit speaks to me to minister to somebody in Miami, okay, in my church. It's a thought that comes from God. I don't do it. Well, I miss God, right? Because God is His mind, isn't that true? Right? His mind, let this mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. You know, Paul used the word phroneo 7 times in Philippians, having a mindset. Why? The Philippians were in a big mess. They were under the attack of they were a Roman colony. The wisdom of the Greeks was permeating the church. 2 women were fighting and destroying the church. Right? Their pastor was sick and dying, Epaphroditus. The apostle Paul was in prison. I mean, there was nothing but trouble in Philippi. And Paul says you need to know how to what? You need to know how to think. Are you with me? You need to know how to think. They were not thinking correctly. Philippians chapter 1, he talks about that. Verse 7 and on, 2-5. It's amazing. He's talking about thinking. Timothy was like-minded, 2:20. All right? Chapter 3 talks about the mind. He keeps talking about this word, the mind. Philippians chapter 4. He's talking about the mind, how to think, understanding. What they needed is, regardless of what was taking place, you got to think correctly. We don't know what's going on. Some people, like when 9/11 happens, they didn't know how to think. And they could, and without being able to think correctly, we can get into the emotions and whatnot. How to think? How do you think correctly about this? So really, this is very important that I would have the mind of Christ and have His thoughts. And that means in every area. That's why we need to learn the Bible. That's why Bible school is important. Some people think they don't need Bible school. You know what? You are totally wrong in your thinking. You're wrong in your thinking. You need Bible school. We have 1,810 students in Africa. Bible college students. We emphasize Bible college. And every one of our Bible college has Dr. Stevens in it for every semester. That's what I like. I don't know what some people are doing now, but that's how I started it. I wanted Pastor Stevens in every semester. And it's amazing. They didn't have Pastor Stevens. You know, in our trial, we have 255 churches in Africa. When we went through the thing we went through, we lost one church. That's it. Why? They knew how to what? Think. We train people how to think with God. How to think. Wow. It's amazing to me. Yes, go ahead.
So, I hope this is a legitimate question. I just think
if
about
it isn't,
it.
I won't even think about it.
Yeah, right. Thank you.
That's just how I am.
All right. So I'm thinking like...
You're thinking?
All right. As a man thinketh, so is he, right?
Proverbs 23:7.
Thank you. So I'm thinking like, well, as a man thinketh, so is he, and God's thoughts are always pure. So as God thinks pure thoughts, he's always pure.
Yes.
Yeah, thank you.
Right. What is anxiety? Anxiety, the word is merimnao, and it means I have a thought divided from God's mind. You know, people say that I'm just so anxious. That's sin. And people don't like to hear that. Anxiety is sin. You're not thinking with God. It's not thinking with God. God thinks this way, and I don't care how God thinks. That's what I think. Really? That's interesting. You know? How to think with God. And then when I don't think with God, there's the changing your thinking process. It's called metanoia. Change your mind. That's all, right? People don't like the word repentance, King James word, but that's what it says. I just want to think with God. I want to think with God about somebody who, you know, I remember one time I was sitting on stage next to Pastor Stevens. I was here and he was here. It was in this church here. And he let some man get up to do an introduction. And in my mind I was thinking, this guy, he's done such damage, you know? I am not thinking correctly at all. Okay? I'm thinking, I know of two conspiratorial situations that happened with this person. So I'm sitting there like I'm not mentally doing well at all. Okay? Dr. Stevens leans over to me and he says, Pastor Shibeli, see this guy? I said, yeah. I'm like, what's he doing talking to me now anyway, you know? He said, this guy used to be beat by his father continuously in his crib. And his father would urinate on him and abuse him. He goes, he doesn't understand the authority of God's love. I felt about that big. If I could have escaped the stage, I would have run. See, Pastor Stevens is thinking one way and I was thinking the other. And thinking with God. You know, and that doesn't mean we're not intelligent and we're not in our thinking aware of what the enemy might be doing, but thinking with God about people that go the wrong way. Thinking with God about my marriage. Thinking with God about my children. Thinking with God about the church. You know, how to think with God. This to me is so key. And his thoughts are what? What's the P word? Precious. T-I-M-I-O-S and Y-A-Q-A-R in the Hebrew. They have great value. They're to be esteemed. They are dear to us. Very precious. They're treasures. The Bible is a treasure, isn't it? But today, nowadays, you can go to churches. They have a 2-hour service and they have 5 minutes of the Bible and the rest is all nonsensical music. You know, 5 offerings. You know, songs are great. I can just take about so many, you know. I need to hear the Bible, okay? I love music as it honors God, but I want to hear the scriptures. You know? I went to a guy one time. I was in Nigeria. He said to me, our church starts at 9, ends at 12. He says, you're the main preacher. You have 15 minutes. I said, what do you do with the rest of your time? Just garbage? Said, you expect me to go and sit there for 3 hours? Of what are you doing? Well, we have the pastor's offering. We have the pastor's car offering. We have the offering. We have the music. We have prayer for the sick. We have tongues. I'm like, wow, this is amazing. So you have 3 hours of nonsense and 15 minutes of truth. I said, I'm going to go to the hotel. You call me when it's my time to preach. I'll come for the 15 minutes and then I'm out of here. No, really, you can't believe what goes on in churches today. There's no importance given to the scriptures. It's shocking, really. Maybe you know what I'm talking about to be true. But having been in Africa, I see it. I see that there's so little value given to the scriptures. Am I right, Pastor Alfred? You see it in Liberia, right? I mean, we're going to preach and teach the Bible. You know, that's amazing. The first time that Dr. Stevens preached in Ghana, it's like 1,000 people there. He gets up and he says, he doesn't even open with prayer. I didn't say anything to him. He said, tongues are toys for kids. I saw about 8 people leave. I thought, wow, I'm trying to figure out how to get rid of them before. But Pastor did it in one easy sentence. They were gone. He heard from God. You could say, that's offensive to me. I would never do that. Well, you're probably just a partial coward anyway. You know, it goes along with that. But a lot of people have no courage. You want to offend people. Well, you offend God and don't offend people. Jesus said, does this offend you? Right? I told somebody the other day, they didn't. I said, I make a plan to offend you in particular. They said, yeah, that's good, you know. So, yeah, I said, I make a plan just to do that. Anyway, let's not get off the subject. His thoughts are what? precious. That's why we love the word. Is it Psalm 100? Maybe check it for me. 119:89. I'm not sure now. Oh, how I love your doctrine. Oh, David goes, oh, how I love the word. No, that's about forever. Thy word is settled in heaven. There's a verse 119. Let me think. Yeah, I don't want that one. There's one that says, oh, how I love thy law. It's my meditation. 97. Who said that? Hallelujah. You got one of those devices, right? Yeah. So they can be used by God at times. See? Oh, how I love thy doctrine. It doesn't say law. It says Torah, doctrine. Oh, how I love thy doctrine. It's my meditation what? All the day? Yeah, it's amazing. David, the psalmist, just said, I love your word. Yes. More to be desired than fine gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than the honeycomb. For me, it wasn't a question about moving from Massachusetts to Baltimore. I'm moving where the word is. I'm going where I can be a person that grows as a believer. I'm not going to stay in some dead town where I'm not growing. Hello? I'm going where I can grow. And that was just my choice. I'm getting out of here. Massachusetts was my home. My father and mother were there. The church that I was a part of beginning was there. And when I knew that Pastor Stevens moved to Baltimore, I said, here I go. We packed up about nothing. We had all smelly, old, moldy clothes that were 6 years in somebody's cellar. Who is that person? Anyway, is she here? It was your sister. Okay, it wasn't you? Okay, thank you for correcting me. It was Terry! No, even the couch stunk. I thought, I ain't taking much with me. You know, it fit in the U-Haul. And we moved to Ron Swingle's house. We stayed there, and then I got an apartment, and it began. I'm going to go where I can grow. You can go where you want. I know where I'm going. I'm going where I can be developed by God. Some people, I wish they would think that way. Like, why don't you go where you can grow? Don't go because I like the place. Well, God's going to burn it up anyway. So what you like is going to be put on fire. So big deal. I could never leave, you know, this area. There's all Italians there. Well, who cares, you know? Who really cares? I want to be in the geographical will of God. I want to be in God's will, you know? Pastor Stevens told me 3 times to stay in Massachusetts and start a new Greater Grace Church. 3 times I told him no on the phone. He called me up. He said, is this still no? I said, yep. He goes, then it's God's will. Move here. No, he tested me. He hit me like 3 times, you know? Stay, stay, stay. I said, I will not tarry. God gave me 2 Kings 2. Remember Elisha? Following Elijah, I will not tarry. I will not tarry. I will not tarry. Right? Donald moved where he's going to grow, right? Did you move from that famous Massachusetts? Was it the famous Massachusetts? Yeah, and you moved here. We all did. I think 100 of us from Springfield, right, Kathy? 100 of us moved here. I'm just going where the vision is. You know, I want to be where there's a vision. I'm not thinking about anything. I'm like, what's the weather like? Are there any golf courses there? I hate golf anyway, but are there any hockey rinks there? They got basketball hoops there, you know? Right? Well, what's going on there? You know, it doesn't matter what's going on. God is going on. Huh? People are so afraid to uproot. One day God's going to uproot us right out of here. Be uprooted, like, hey, wait a minute! You know, no, you're going up, and nothing's coming. Right? We're going up, and there's nothing coming. Sorry. The nice car that you love so much, nothing wrong with that. I'm so glad my van couldn't go up. 30 years, it was dead. Anyway. So let's think precious thoughts. Amen? Let's think with God. This is the key. Thinking with God and His thoughts are precious. And that will produce a precious response, precious decisions. Amen? This is the key. And don't allow other thinking to come in. It's usually good thinking that attacks God's thinking. All right? Good thinking attacks God's thinking. So, you know, this is what they said to me when I was in Springfield. I'll never forget it. Pastor Stevens has said to me, have you ever prayed about Africa? I said, for what? I was kind of like difficult to get along with. He said, well, you've been to China, India, Yugoslavia, Bulgaria, you've been to all these places. You ever prayed about Africa? I said, never once. He said, would you? I said, nope. Not even going to pray about it. Then he came back about a month later, and God really spoke to me about Africa. You know, so I said, I think I'm gonna think about it, take a trip there. Then I took a trip there, and I really believe that God spoke to me from Luke 4:18, in the city of Ashama, and I'll never forget that night. It was a Thursday night, and God spoke through His Word, right through the Word. I went back, and they said, how can you go? You're the head of the Christian school, the head of the Bible school, the head of evangelism, and the assistant pastor. I said, I can go by moving to the airport with my feet and getting on a plane and leaving. How's that? They refused to send me. One day, Dr. Stevens came down on a Thursday night, and he preached the message from Psalm 16, verses 8 through 10. You know, and in thy presence is fullness of joy. And he went to them and he said, let this man go. God will replace with other people. And I went. I went in 88. It was awesome for me. Just to see what God would do. So there was a lot of contrary thinking. It's good, you gotta stay here. The Christian school, the kiddies, the kids, the Bible college. Oh, I mean, the drug rehab houses. Oh, you're the person who's assisting the pastor. I said, love ya. Love ya. I remember the day we left, you know how people are crying. I just got in the car and said, drive. You know, like, let them, I mean, they can cry all they want. I don't have time for that, you know. What are you going to do? What me need to weep and break my heart? I can scripture it too. Okay? I mean, we're going to see you again. Never. I don't know when. I love you. I do love you, but don't do this to me and my wife and my kids. This weeping, 110 people weeping and crying around the car. I said to the driver, drive the car. Pull down, like, is there, like, anything we can put up to hide, you know, the people? No, because that would have affected our thinking all the way. And I know that. And they love us, and we love them, but that was a scene I couldn't allow to penetrate. Because you just turn around, right? Say, I'm getting out of here. I'm going to stay here and be productive in my call. Really? Dr. Stevens said to me one time, and this is an interesting statement. I'm not saying it to you. I'm saying it to me. He said, why don't you do something that nobody else can do? I thought, wow, that's an interesting statement. He goes, do something that nobody's doing. I thought, what's he talking about? And he meant Africa. And that's what ended up happening. And you all have your stories, whether it's Mexico. How many years have you been in Mexico? 30 years in Mexico. Imagine that. Huh? 30 years. Anyway, let's think with God. Let's think precious thoughts. Let's keep listening. Is that Lucy? You came to church in South Africa. Remember that day? Huh? Remember you came that day? Did you hear some thoughts from God? Huh? It was about God's love. Yeah, she got transformed and now she's a missionary in Costa Rica. All it takes is one thought, right? One thought received. That's key. Father, thank you for this night. We pray. Bless us as we travel, wherever we go, up the to the gym, whatever it may be. cover us, and we thank you. Thank you for your thoughts. They are precious. Thank you. Help us to fellowship with them, to really see how many polluted types of thoughts there are, and purify us to think with you. Help us, God. Help us to grow in thinking with you. We love you tonight. We pray for all the events that take place tomorrow. In Jesus' name, amen.